Welcome to the Wampa's Lair podcast. Deep in the bowels of the frozen ice caverns of Hoth, our hosts, Carl LeClaire and Jason Hunt, have been frozen upside down to the cave ceiling with nothing to do but talk all things Star Wars. So make yourselves comfortable, but keep a wary eye out for trouble here in the Wampa's Lair. Hey everyone, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. This is episode number 52. They'd be crazy to follow us. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Jason Hunt, and with me on the other side of the microphone, we have the Yoda to my Count Dooku. We have Carl LeClaire.
I would do a Yoda if I could, but I can't. Jason, this one student of mine, she still like raves about your voice ability. She's like, Mr. LeClaire, how come you can't do voices? I'm like, we've been over this.
Dear.
Oh, yeah. Nothing like being Yoda. I mean, he's always right here keeping me company, my little gentle giant Yoda. So, he's so cute. Anyway, we have an awesome episode tonight. We're going to be chasing this topic everywhere. before we get into our topic, we also had a sweet matchup with lots of responses once again, which is great. I think for the first time, it's my soul, not Jason's, that's been crushed by the results of the Larians. But Jason, why don't you remind us all what that matchup was?
Alrighty, well, the matchup that we just had was a little matchup between Han Solo and Jango Fett. And without further ado, let us jump right into the Larian responses.
Heartbreaking though they be. That was an laser blast, something hit us.
Oh, I know. That was the Larians. Over on Facebook, Brian V. Klein says, in a hand-to-hand slash close quarters fight, Jango all the way. Han wouldn't be able to smooth talk or outfly his way from Jango. Matt McCandless, Han, because he would shoot first. Joey Laporta, I wish it could be Han by himself in a fight that he can't escape from. I don't think he has much of a chance against Jango. Alan Simpson, tough one. This could go either way. Jango did stand toe-to-toe with Obi-Wan, and I don't think Han could last long against the Jedi, so I reluctantly pump for Fett, even though Han is one of my favorite characters. Bill Thompson, Jango, and it's not really close. Han's a great pilot, but as far as individual combat goes, he's a brawler at best. Against a trained soldier and bounty hunter like Jango, he doesn't stand a chance, and is wasted in quick fashion. James Southard, I'll take Jango easily. Jango has an arsenal of weapons, Han just a blaster. Plus add armor and a jetpack, Han is just outgunned. But if it's a space battle, then Han gets the nod. Great pilot and nothing beats the Falcon, baby. And while I agree there, unfortunately we are talking non-space battle matchup here. Ryan Ramsdell, Han Solo because he would shoot at first sight. Phil Johnson, Jango to win. Han got lucky knocking Boba into the Sarlacc pit. Jango would get his revenge. Patrick Kotef, I will go with Han Solo. And then Matt the Crankster Cranky says, I'm going Jango. Jango fought Obi-Wan to a draw on Kamino. If both are in their prime, no way Solo could handle Jango. Matt, just because you used to cosplay in the 501st as Jango doesn't mean you have to vote against Han Solo. And then over on Twitter, our buddy Leon355 says, cue the whistle from the good, the bad, and the ugly. Great movie if you haven't seen it. Anyways, the hypothetical clock strikes noon, and one man is left standing. Han Solo. And so, at the end of our Larian responses, we have, it's not in a dramatically one-sided contest, but it is 4-7 in favor of Jango Fett. So, Mr. LeClaire,
yes.
What's this you?
Well, I think tonight, I'm going to pull the host card and say my vote counts for like six. I'm kidding. No, I mean, practically speaking, yes, Jango Fett. And obviously it's because he's a Swiss Army knife with training. I mean, that's pretty, you know, that's pretty legit. But here's the thing I think people always overestimate with the Fetts is the fact that they do have all these little gadgets and such. Han doesn't need that stuff. He doesn't hide behind armor. He doesn't hide with a jetpack. He just comes at you with his blaster and his fists. If you've ever read the Han Solo trilogy by A.C. Crispin, you see Han lay out some dudes. And yeah, he's not like some trained, you know, tactician like Jango Fett would have. So emotionally speaking, character love speaking, I'm going with Han Solo. And the reason for that is because, yeah, Jango went toe-to-toe with Obi-Wan, but he also got owned by Obi-Wan. I don't know. I love that fight. And Jango, like, does a good job, but he would have gotten killed in no time if he didn't have the advantage of his gadgets. And that's the thing. You know, you take away Jango, all of his little accoutrements, and Han's got no problem taking him down. And also, too, I mean, Han's a great shot. I mean, Obi-Wan came at him with a lightsaber, and, you know, he had no way of attacking back, you know, deflecting laser bolts, kind of. But Han's a great shot. I mean, I think Han could easily put one right between his eyes. So, again, practically, yes, I hear the Larians, and I totally agree that Jango Fett definitely has an edge because of all of his training as well as his gadgets. But, obviously, I am extremely biased in this one, and I'm going to give it to Han Solo because... You know, he shoots first, and he doesn't miss. So, anywho. What do you think, Jason? I almost called you Han. Wow.
I think I'm going to surprise everybody here with my answer. because I'm going with Captain Solo.
Yes! Woo!
This never happens, folks.
No, never.
Carl and I are never on the same side here.
Oh my God, Jason, embrace me with the force.
But here is why. Number one, in Attack of the Clones, when Obi-Wan is going up against Jango, Obi-Wan is trying to capture Jango so he can question him and find out what the heck is going on. So he's not out to kill. Now, in a matchup between Han and Jango, I think we are pretty sure that this is a fight to the death. Or at least a fight. Oh, eaten by a sarlacc. While we have never seen Han and Jango face off, we have seen Han and Boba face off numerous times on many occasions. And Boba is Jango's clone. And some would argue even better than Jango himself. Yeah. And if
memory serves me correctly, when we did our Jango versus Bubba matchup here on the Wampa's Lair, I'm fairly certain Bubba Fett won that.
I'm pretty sure as well.
Yeah.
Even though I think I voted for Jango out of principle. but if Han can survive and thrive amidst numerous attempts by Boba Fett, and we're forgetting here that he's also got that Solo luck that seems to follow him around everywhere. I think by the end of the day, one well-placed shot on, and boom, down goes Jango. So I'm going to say Han Solo on this one. Which brings our matchup total to 7-6 in favor of Jango Fett.
Oh, that barely counts, Lair. Oh, gosh. Larians were so close. Oh, so close. Oh, man.
So very, very close.
But
yeah, so that was a really neat one, and I'm really glad that it ended up being as close as it did, because that was a fun one.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I meant to, yeah. Oh, gosh. Jango and Han. I mean, if he can take out Boba Fett half blind with a gaffy stick, I think he can take out Jango full sight with his blaster, his Blastech DL-44. So, anywho, sweet. Jason, thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate your vote of confidence.
At least it was not a vote of no confidence in Chancellor Valorum's leadership.
I just watched The Phantom Menace yesterday. I haven't watched it in so long.
I have been quoting Palpatine from like the prequels for the past week and a half, I swear.
He's quite quotable.
Yes, in general, but yeah. Particularly The Phantom Menace, for some reason, like his dialogue scene with Amidala in his, you know,
apartment
there, yeah. And then the Senate
Republic
chamber
is
itself.
Not what it once was.
The Republic is not what it once was. The Senate is full of greedy, squabbling delegates that has no interest in the common good, you know, and so on and so forth. But yeah, that one especially, I've been really like quoting for some reason, like the entire scene though.
Interesting scene to quote.
It is. I don't know why of all the awesome scenes.
Because you're Jason Hunt.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, enough about quoting Palpatine.
From his apartment scene in The Phantom Menace.
Yes. Particularly. I suppose we should move on into our topic. And what is our topic, Mr. Leclerc?
It is our top chase scenes in Star Wars and Star Wars The Clone Wars. And... it was really cool to get some Larian input on this as well. I got a lot of similar things from them that I'm sure Jason and I are going to be talking about tonight as well. So Jason's going to read a few of those before we mention our honorable mentions, and then read off the rest of them before we hop into our top five. So, Jason, again, the floor is yours.
All right. Well, we were
the chair does not recognize the senator.
The chair does not recognize the senator from the Trade Federation at this time. And to state her allegations, I present to you recently Queen Amidala, recently elected ruler of the Naboo, who speaks on our behalf. Sorry. Oh, dear.
I'm going to break out in a few minutes.
Don't get me started. Don't get me started, Carl.
This is for you, Joe Hogan.
Yes, these Phantom Menace quotes are dedicated to Joe Hogan. All right. We were really trying to get a guest on for the show, and for some reason or another, nobody can do May 9th, 2013.
Yes.
And so we decided to bring in the Larians on this show, and that's why I last night hurriedly asked everybody, what are some of your favorite chase scenes? And we actually got 7 people responded, so this is really nice in that short amount of time. So,
absolutely. We appreciate you guys being our special guest tonight. Thanks, Larry.
Yes, so special guest for episode 52 of the Wampus Lair podcast is the Larians. at Leon355 says his favorites are the speeder bike chase through Endor in Return of the Jedi has to be one of the best. Our buddy Jess Def Jam says this may not be a chase, but Boba Fett following Han in Empire Strikes Back and Obi-Wan being chased by Jango Fett in Attack of the Clones. Brian V. Klein, the chase scene in the Lightsaber Lost episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars through Coruscant, and then the Endor Forest in Return of the Jedi, and Obi and Annie chasing Zam in Attack of the Clones. And then Zach Williams says, the last episode of the Younglings arc in Season 5, I believe that is called Unnecessary Bond, sorry. There was a great chase scene that reminded me of Raiders of the Lost Ark. I agree. And I may be talking more about that later. So we've got a couple more responses from you guys, but we're going to save those for just a little bit later. We're going to get through Carl's and mine honorable mentions. So Carl, because I feel like I've been dominating the conversation today, why don't you just start off?
Sure. So I have 2 quick honorable mentions. And my first one is my only actual chase scene from The Clone Wars. Again, I'm not well-versed enough in The Clone Wars to probably know all the different chase scenes, as I'm sure there's tons of them. I picked the one that's obviously stuck out to me. And it's the one from the most recent season, Season 5 here, with the Darth Maul story arc on Mandalore. And it's the scene when they're trying to get Duchess Satine out of there, and you have Death Watch chasing Death Watch, and I love that chase scene because it looks really cool, and then just like all these Mandalorians, just the Mandalorian action and how they, you know, drop back to take out the other ones and stuff. It's just it's such a really cool little chase scene. Again, not overly long. And the odd thing is, oddly, I came up with this topic, and I've always hated chase scenes in movies. Like, car chases always bore me. But I was obviously thinking of a few that I'll obviously talk about tonight that are so incredible that I did want to – I thought it'd be a fun topic. But yeah, from the Clone Wars, that one always jumps out at me because I actually just rewatched that story arc not too long ago, and I was like, wow, that's a really cool little chase scene right there.
Well, yeah.
So, but I know you have a couple as well. So what's your first one?
My first honorable mention is also from the Clone Wars, and this one is more of a slightly nostalgic pick here. And this comes from Season 2, the finale arc, particularly the episode R2 Come Home. This is when R2-D2 evades Boba Fett and Ara Sing in Slave 1. When R2 takes off in Mace Windu's Jedi Starfighter to go get help from the Jedi to rescue Mace and Anakin, he takes off and Boba Fett and Ara Sing start chasing him in Slave 1. And so there's this big chase over the downed Republic cruiser where R2 escapes and he blasts out into space trying to get the signal out, but they're jamming his transmissions. And so he heads to the hyperspace rings that the Jedi Starfighters have that are orbiting, and Boba's only got one shot at destroying one of them, the one he thinks that R2's headed for. So R2 does this neat little maneuver where he starts going towards one of them, which Boba shoots, but instead of ultimately going for that one, R2 flips the starfighter over and corkscrews into the other one and takes off into hyperspace and evades the galaxy's future number one bounty hunter. And so because R2-D2 bests Boba Fett, that is an honorable mention for me.
There you go.
I am definitely becoming a firm stander in the camp of Boba Fett being overrated, but which I know is going to shock and dismay many Larians out there.
Yes, but Jason prefers Jar Jar Binks to Boba Fett, everyone.
You're not lying there.
I know. That's the thing.
All right, but you had one more honorable mention. Do you want to do that?
Yeah.
Real quick?
So my next one, and the rest of mine are all going to be from the films. This is from Attack of the Clones, and it's the Anakin and Obi-Wan chase of Zam Wessel through Coruscant. Incredible. And I know Jazz mentioned this, which I think you're going to read. I think a few of the responders mentioned this scene because it's such an incredible chase scene. And right from the get-go, that assassin droid pulls away from the window and Obi-Wan just jumps out, grabs hold of it. It's just like, dude, don't, oh my God. Like, he just goes, it's like, go big or go home, Obi-Wan. And he goes big and jumps through the window and grabs it. And, you know, it's a really cool scene. And then seeing that, you know, some of the humor between him and Anakin when they meet back up and, it's such a well put together chase scene that, and actually oddly, my favorite part of the chase scene actually is after Zam crashes and Anakin, you know, falls off and chases her on foot then as well. I always liked that because it looked really real to me, like really human. Like Anakin, who's like this extremely powerful Jedi, is now in a foot race with a bounty hunter. I just always enjoyed that and how they're running through the crowds. And it's just like,
he's just, you like could shoving see people this. Out of the
yeah.
way. And
like, you could just, I don't know. I always liked that part. So that's my second honorable mention.
That's awesome. My second honorable mention is actually from A New Hope. And this is, I'm calling it The Pursuit Through the Death Star. This is after our heroes have escaped the trash compactor and they're, you know, recovering and everything. They come around the corner and there's stormtroopers and Han shoots one and he and Chewie take off chasing them and Luke and Leia go the other way. And so basically just the entire sequence until they meet back up at the Falcon later on. Just
what kept you? Old friends.
Well, you know. Oh, well, you know, I had to stop. I wanted to get a soda at the machine, but it wouldn't take my quarter, so I had to go find
a Death Star souvenir T-shirt.
But they didn't have one in my size, so I had to go find another gift shop. And no. But no, that scene is always fun because it's got, you know, those awesome little moments, you know, Han running around the corner and there's like 8 million stormtroopers there and, you know, slight exaggeration there.
Close and then, of course, him. Close the blast door.
Yes.
Open the black door. Open the black door.
And then, of course, the swing over the chasm.
Yes.
And all that fun stuff, you know, for luck. You know. but yeah, that about wraps up my honorable mentions there. So, shall we return to the Larian responses?
Yeah, what do our special guests want to say?
Yes, our special guest, our buddy Jazz, says that he had a few that sprung to mind, and you just mentioned this, Carl, that the amazing scene where Obi-Wan throws himself out of the window in Coruscant in order to chase Zam's assassin droid. Wah! You know, he typed that out. The incredible chase scene where Obi-Wan chases after Jango and Boba in the asteroid field. Amazing visuals and audio. The tense chase scene where Republic shock troopers chase Ahsoka after she has been framed for murder. That's from the Clone Wars. The Jedi Who Knew Too Much, I believe. The gripping chase on Umbara in Season 4 of the Clone Wars, where the clones hunt down the Jedi gone rogue, Pong Krell. Holy moly! And then his Jazz's last one was Anakin chasing after the Tuskens on Tatooine when trying to find his mother. Beautiful cinematography and heart-wrenching results. And then we got two more Larian responses. One from Joe Sorbera. Speeder bike chase in Return of the Jedi. Ahsoka escaping the prison in the last arc of the season of the Clone Wars. And then Han chasing the stormtroopers on the Death Star. And Rene Tajima Bier simply says, speeder bike on Endor. So.
Sweet.
So we got some awesome, those are all very awesome stuff. So, and I'm sure a few of those will be mentioned by the two of us later on in this episode.
Right.
And so why don't we get to that?
Yeah. So number five for me is one Jazz just mentioned as well. And it's, again, from Attack of the Clones. There happens to be a lot of chase scenes in Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, there's
whenever I see other people's responses, I always forget too. Like chase scenes can include foot chases too. I would have never thought about the thing on the Death Star in A New Hope. And I almost texted you the other when I was watching Phantom Menace yesterday to be like, can the pod race count? But I don't think that's a chase scene.
No, well, yeah, Anakin's chasing Victor. The lead,
yes.
But technically, but no, it's a race.
Annie.
He will be hard pressed to catch the leaders.
That's for you, Joe Hogan. But anyway, my number five is from Attack of the Clones, and it is the chase scene between Obi-Wan and Jango Fett in the asteroid field above Geonosis. Kind of like Jazz said, I mean, it's incredible cinematography, and the audio is what makes those, you know, those depth charges. What are they called exactly?
I should know this.
Sonic charges. That sound,
yes.
Like seeing that in the theater was really, really cool, and it was really cool to see the Slave One in action. Because again, in Empire, we have like two scenes with it flying away. That's it. So it was really cool to see, and you know, you've read in the EU and you know all these other things about how well equipped it is and how well armed it is. And here you see it being flown by the original Fett, and he's just using everything to his advantage. But again, it just goes to show, even though Obi-Wan isn't, you know, a huge fan of piloting, up flying us to droids. he obviously is quite gifted at it and quite a natural with piloting. I mean, no typical pilot is going to outfly, you know, Jango Fett, let alone through an asteroid field. And essentially, Obi-Wan's being hunted the whole time. And you know, you have that great scene when he releases that rocket on him and Obi-Wan split decision to, you know, empty the spare canisters and, you know, detonate the bomb, making Jango think he got him. And,
bit of Anakin rubbing off on him.
Right. And then of course we see his, you know, Empire Strikes Back trick of hiding on the back of an asteroid. So I mean, it's such a really cool shot. The sound of the Slave One I love the sound that they gave to the ship. It just sounds really cool. I mean, it just sounds like a muscle car, really. And you know, the rapid fire of those the head cannons on that ship is so cool. And just, again, Obi-Wan's piloting skills are quite good. Obviously, like you said, Anakin's rubbed off a bit. So that's my number five.
Well, I will mention that later, so I'll save comments.
Okay.
But my number five, and you will probably comment on this one later, is from Return of the Jedi, and that is the speeder bike chase through the forest of Endor. And it's just, when you say Star Wars chase scenes, this is probably one. This is one of two that will probably be the first ones to jump into your head.
Sure.
Oh, and by the way, I'm including Papaloo's little stealing of the speeder bike in this. So,
not bad for a little furball. There's only one left.
Exactly. So just that, the main speeder bike chase and that all rolled in here. But it's just, it's fun because it was something that up to this point we hadn't seen like a really like a... This is basically the race that we get for the classic trilogy, like the pod race was in the prequel trilogy, which is a lot of fun. And of course, you know, every time now you see a forest here, we Star Wars fans, we see a forest and we're going like, you know, if only I had a speeder bike. so you could race through the trees and,
That scares me, though, because they're really fast.
Yeah, they're very, very fast. And I think most of us would probably end up like the scout troopers, you know, crashing into trees and whatnot. But, of course, it's just a fun little thrill ride where basically there's no music, which is kind of interesting. George Lucas likes to cut the music out with some of these chases.
I think the sound of the speeder bikes themselves, though, are the music to some degree. So...
Yeah, which is neat, but it's just really fun and a really neat idea that got used, and I was just really and it served the story because you know it got everybody separated and Leia in with the Ewoks and you know all that fun stuff, but so it was a really neat chase scene. I don't have anything like really specific that makes it stand out to me other than it was just a lot of fun and something that I'll always remember. So, that's my number five. Great. What is your number four?
Yes. Yeah. I'll be saving comment. My number four is probably one of the most iconic chase scenes in Star Wars. And this is the very first shot from A New Hope with the Tantive IV running away from the Star Destroyer. Now, I forgot to look up what the name of that Star Destroyer is. I should know this. Do you know, Jason?
No.
I'm sure as soon as you looked it up on Wikipedia, it'd be right there. But
Right. I mean,
I don't know the name of it, but that, I mean, this is... 80 like,
you guys out there going, it's this one!
Yeah, I know it. You know. But, you know, again, I mean, like we talked about just on the last episode when we did our, you know, overview of A New Hope. I mean, this scene is so iconic to Star Wars fans, especially, you know, OT, you know, fans that were, you know, grew up with the original trilogy. I mean, that scene was so iconic for film history. I mean, here you've got this really cool ship and this massive, massive ship just like filling the frame and like, oh my gosh, it's still going. And then holy crap. So again, it's not that long of a chase scene. I mean, it's quite short really. But again, it was just so iconic. And, again, it right from the beginning, I mean, it sets the stage of what's going on in this galaxy far, far away. You've got this little rebel ship being pursued by this massive Imperial destroyer. In a very symbolic sense, this is the symbolism of what's going on in this galactic civil war right now. You've got this small group trying to outrun and outfly this massive force. So again, like just such a great shot, like really cool watching them exchange blaster fire. And then as the chase ends and the tractor beam pulls it in and you have that great shot of just the, you know, as it's slowly engulfed by the shadow of the Star Destroyer, it's just so daunting. that's obviously a great chase scene. So.
Yeah, no, that's, I completely forgot to like think about that as a chase scene. There was one that was like, oh yeah, that's a chase scene. Cause no, I love that. Oh, this is where you start becoming me and pulling out these unique ones. But no, I, for those of you that, you know, can't see me, cause obviously none of you guys can, As Carl started describing this and he mentioned it, you should have seen my face. I was just like, my eyes got big and, you know, everything. I got like, oh my gosh, this is so awesome. Because it is such an iconic scene and one of my favorite scenes from A New Hope. And so to have it included in this this little countdown here is really, really awesome. And I'm really... Thank you for mentioning this one, Carl.
You know, Jason, the more I record with you, the more you rub off on me.
So. Yes. I hope my prequel love is rubbing off on everyone else, too. So, but, all right, my number four, I will just go on into that, is actually your number five, and that is the chase over Geonosis. And for many of the same reasons, I love this. It's just one of those things where as soon as the ships start coming out of hyperspace, there's no sound other than the ships. Nothing. And it's, you know, it starts getting you, you know, tense and, you know, anticipating what's going to happen. And I love the fact that there's no music at all until much later on in the chase. And, of course, the sonic charges is probably my second favorite sound effect aside from the lightsabers in Star Wars, period. So it was seeing that, like you said, Carl, seeing that in the theater was truly fantastic and made my day up until the Geonosis Arena battle. It was my favorite part of Attack of the Clones before we got to see all the Jedi just, you know, start kicking butt. But yeah, you know, it's so great to just see that and to watch that, and it is the only space battle basically in Attack of the Clones, which it was something I thought that Attack of the Clones kind of needed a little extra of, or at least you know, a starfighter battle up over the plains of Geonosis would have been neat to see too, but. So this was really great to see, and of course we finally get the music to come in as soon as Django arms that missile, which was perfect, you know, which I loved, just the way that the sound of that chase. In addition to the awesome visuals, the sound of that chase is something that I will never forget. So, and is such an integral part of that chase. So that's why I love it.
That's a good one. Yeah.
So
yeah, it's you need good audio to really get the full effect in your home theater. Like, luckily, it's still such a cool sound. It's cool no matter what you're listening to it on, but especially in the theater, just like that, like you just felt like it was like coming at you from all angles. It was so cool.
Yeah. No, it's funny. Attack of the Clones, I think, might have the most chase scenes of any of the Star Wars films.
Oh,
it's
definitely.
Got one on Coruscant. Django and Obi-Wan in the asteroid field, the one through the droid factory with Anakin and Padme and R2 and 3PO. And I might be missing one.
Yeah, well, you are. And it's my next one, my number three.
Well, there we go.
So my number three, also from Attack of the Clones, is the chase where you have Anakin and Obi-Wan and Padme chasing Dooku.
Oh, nice.
So towards the end of the Battle of Geonosis. And ultimately the reason I like – so visually what I like about this particular chase scene is it's really cool that the blaster fire that the two fighters that are flying, you know, as protection for Dooku when they, you know, fly around the back of the troop carrier and they start opening fire. Like, it's almost like like shrapnel
what is it?
Flak fire. Like when you watch like World War II movies and stuff, like the 88 millimeter cannons that the Nazis used to like try to shoot down the American aircraft. Like they were flak guns essentially. And it just like, it was really cool to see all that, like the explosions in the air. It made it look like real blaster fire, which I thought was a really cool element. And, you know, of course you've got Count Dooku being Count Dooku. He's just so relaxed. I love, like, when he motions his fighters to, you know, fly around behind it. He just, simple two fingers, just lifts
pushes
his hands.
Yep. Pushes two buttons on his,
and
his
just
bike.
Motions. And then, it's so cool. Like, and, but my favorite part of the scene, though, of course, is the dialogue that occurs once they open fire and Padme takes a tumble.
I can't take Dooku alone. I need you. If we catch him, we can end this war right now. We have a job to do.
I don't care. Put the ship down.
You will be expelled from the Jedi Order.
I can't leave her.
Come to your senses. What do you think Padme would do with she in your position?
She would do her duty.
Oh no!
You've got this, you know, you got that great dialogue.
Padme!
You got that, it's just like that great dialogue between Anakin and Obi-Wan arguing, you know, put the ship down, like, Anakin, you know, you'll be expelled from the Jedi Order. I can't leave her. you know, but it's just, I like it because it just, it grabs that tension that obviously has built all throughout the film. You know, Anakin is now ridiculously attached to Padme to the point that he would put aside the mission. He would put aside potentially saving the galaxy, which is, you know, what Obi-Wan has on his mind. It's just like, hey, I can't do this on my own. We can stop this war right now if we do this together. Like, put your personal feelings aside right now. And that's something Anakin is so bad at doing. Mm-hmm. So I think that scene is just, it's really exciting. And again, that drama really builds it as well. And you've got that great music in the background as well. I think that adds to the piece. But again, you just see the contrast between Anakin and Obi-Wan. And Obi-Wan only gets his senses by basically saying, like, what would Padme do? Like, oh, yes. Yeah, that's right. She would put duty first. She would put the needs of the, you know, of the many over myself. I mean, again, it just shows right there how selfish Anakin is. And I think it also shows us that Obi-Wan's a little bit like, uh-oh. You know, I mean, like that line, you'll be expelled from the Jedi Order. Like, it hints at the fact that he won't be expelled simply because he wants to put the ship down and rescue her. It's because he knows what's really going on here. Like, you want her. I mean, earlier in the film, you know, on the balcony there, the balcony scene there when Padme's sleeping, you know, Anakin, your thoughts betray you. You know, you've made a commitment to the Jedi Order. A commitment not easily
broken. Not easily broken.
Yeah. And you know, so Obi-Wan knows how Anakin feels, and, you know, you have that drama in the middle of this battle and this chase. So I just really enjoy that one as well. So that's my number three.
That's a good one. I didn't include it because I just sort of lumped it in with the battle, just the whole battle there. So, but that's a really good one. You know, if you – I don't know what I was about to say. I'm sorry. My mind
just farted. Like, yeah.
Oh, dear. It's like the EOP in front of Jar Jar Binks in the beginning of the pod race.
Moye, moye.
Oh, Ursa. You know. but yeah, no, that's a good one. And I do like that we get a chase scene with Count Dooku in it now.
Yes.
Oh, me and my amusing character choices. Anyways, I suppose I should go into my number three.
Yes.
And one of our Larians mentioned this one, and I'm sorry I closed out the Word document that had all the responses. My number three is actually two chase scenes, but it's from the same episode of The Clone Wars. And since The Clone Wars isn't, you know, they're 22-minute episodes, I figured I'd just lump them together. This is from Season 5. The finale of the Younglings arc, which I believe is Unnecessary Bond. And that episode starts off with the chase scene. Ahsoka and the Younglings are attempting to escape from Hondo's base, and they have this awesome chase over, like, alongside a cliff where they're trying to get back on the ship But the ship gets shot down, and they're all they end up, you know, all tumbling out and being captured by pirates and taken back to the base. But lo and behold, General Grievous has arrived, so they have to go rescue Hondo. And then we get the awesome chase at the end scene, which Hondo and his pirates, along with Ahsoka and the younglings, break out of prison and make their way to Hondo's secret stash of ships, which include Slave One, a rebuilt Slave One, folks. So, awesome episode, if you, even for that. So, and that end chase starts, you know, basically as a scramble to get to the speeders and the tanks. You know, they fight their way there, and then they take off with Grievous and the droids close behind. They get separated in the canyons, Hondo and his pirates, and one of the younglings end up in the secret hangar while Ahsoka and the rest of the younglings are wind up on the plains with Grievous right behind them. And Ahsoka ends up having to have a little duel with Grievous, but they are saved when Hondo shows up in the rebuilt Slave One, and everybody jumps on board. And Hondo nearly blasts Grievous to pieces with the Slave One. So before taking off, because the tanks have arrived. So that entire episode has two very awesome, awesome chase scenes. So I'm going to include that episode of the Clone Wars as my number three. So
excellent. Yeah, I totally forgot about that. I love the beginning of that story arc, but the last couple episodes I thought were, I didn't enjoy as much. But yeah, I did forget how awesome that was when Hondo is using Slave One to decimate General Grievous. That's so cool and so well done. And I love the Slave One. I prefer Boba Fett's paint job to Jango's.
And it's nearly exactly Boba Fett's paint job. Yeah. It's got little things that'll be switched up when Boba gets his hands on it, but,
exactly. But yeah, that's a great one. So,
yes.
So, to my number two, onwards and upwards.
Onwards and upwards.
So my number two is something you've mentioned already. It's your number five. It's the speeder bike chase in Return of the Jedi, which quite a few of the Larians also commented on. And, you know, a lot of the same things you said, Jason, you know, it's fun. It's also nostalgic. You know, just thinking back to watching that chase scene and when I would be in the woods as a kid, playing around in the woods myself, I would just grab a stick and, you know, put it under me and pretend it was my speeder bike and just run as quickly as I could through the woods. I mean, it's such a great element to the story. I mean, it's really cool to see this. The way they shot it, too, is really cool. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people listening right now know this behind-the-scenes story, but essentially, this is something that had never really been done before. I mean, you have a cameraman walking through, you know, the Redwood Forest at a normal pace, recording, but then they go back and, you know, obviously speed up the speed reel to make it look like they're going ridiculously fast. And it looks real, too. I mean, it doesn't look like it's force sped up. You know, like a lot of times in some older films, you can tell that action sequences are sped up. The speed of the film is sped up. This looks legit, though. It looks really cool.
I believe they filmed it at a slower frame rate.
Yeah, slower frame rate. Yeah.
And then when they put it back in and, you know, played it at the normal frame rate, it was like going, you know, over 100 miles an hour through the forest. Which is, you know, awesome. But yeah, I think that was one of the first uses of the Steadicam, too.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
so it was breaking new ground in technology.
Exactly, that's what Lucasfilm
does. Just a normal occurrence on a Star Wars set.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean this scene is so fun, and I love the part when, you know, Luke and Leia are on the speeder, and then Luke hops on a second one, and then two more speeders come out after them and open fire, and you know, you keep on that one, I'll take these two, and he just jets straight back. It's so cool that
slams
little
on
scene.
The brakes. And
yeah. Just they go flying right by him, which is so cool.
Like, it's funny because, you know, finally, you know, it looks like Luke and Leia are going to – they have the upper hand. There's only one scout trooper left and, oh, no, now I have two more.
Yeah, exactly. So and, of course, like you said, the it serves a great purpose to the story. You know, it gets everybody separated, sets up the Ewok storyline. And I always liked it, too, after Luke – you know, has to abandon Speeder, and he pulls out his lightsaber and just like deflects those blasts and then cuts off the front end of the other Speeder, and it just corkscrews into a tree. And I just love how, you know, when they both essentially lose their Speeders, they stay awake long enough to see that their troopers die without being able to report them.
right.
So, yeah, I mean, it just incredible fun. And also, too, the attachment to the fact that I loved that action figure toy, the speeder bike toy.
Yes,
you just press the little button on the back and it exploded. Yes. And the scout trooper's hands always stayed attached to those
they
handles.
Did.
And it used
they
to drive did. Me nuts.
Oh.
So
you had to, like, chop off the thumb if you wanted to get it.
Like, or just not, like, put his hands completely on it. But
right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, and then scout troopers, too, are really cool looking. I love that visor helmet. It's a really cool helmet. So, anyway, so that's my number two. What about
you? Very nice. But my number two is probably the other chase scene in Star Wars that people go to when they think Star Wars chase scenes.
This wouldn't be your number one.
That's right. No, it wouldn't be my number one. And that is the asteroid chase scene.
If you pick the chase through the planet core and the Phantom Menace, I'm done.
I'm the monster's back! No. I did not include that on my list.
Okay.
Joe Hogan, you can breathe easy now. But no, this one... it was just so much fun because you finally really – this is like really getting to see the Millennium Falcon in action. I mean, you got the TIE fighter attack in A New Hope, but you really get to see what the Falcon can do in this. And it's through asteroids, and you got TIE fighters, and you got C-3PO, you know. So this is the
The odds of successfully navigating
an asteroid field are approximately 3,720 to 1.
Never tell me the odds.
No. Uh-huh. Closer to the one of the big ones. Closer. You know, and so it's just the visuals, the chase itself, you know, through the asteroids up and around, and just the way that the different TIE fighters keep getting destroyed and wiped out, you know, one by one by one by one by two at the very end. where they smash together in the canyon, but and then just that combined with the music, and the tense, fast paced dialogue that takes place inside the Falcon, makes it one of the most memorable scenes from The Empire Strikes Back, for me, anyways. And I love it. I simply love it because. It just is awesome. I mean, there's not much you can say about chase scenes other than it's incredible, you know.
Yeah.
But no, it's great because of all the things that you could do to get away from the Empire, you decide to go into a place that could potentially just blow you up. You know, an asteroid field.
Yeah.
I like asteroid field chases apparently because they've both been on my list. And I'm not going to insinuate that the other one, that this is on your list yet.
Yeah, I think we know it is.
Yeah, but no, it's such a fun chase scene. And like I said, it's just awesome to see the Millennium Falcon in its, you know, top form, aside from, of course, the hyperdrive not working.
Right.
But
except for that last bit. Transit circuits are working. It's not my fault. No hyperdrive. It's not my fault.
But there's just some of the shots in there where we just see the Falcon like flipping around, you know, through the asteroids. It's, you know, makes you go, "Wow, Han really did a number on that ship in order to get it to do that because that's not normal for a freighter that size." So, but no, this is when I really started to like the Falcon, being the chase scene. So, why I say it should be. The way that Han goes out in the new trilogy, if they bring that back. So, because having the Falcon continue on without Han would be, I don't know.
Stupid.
I don't think, yes.
I'm going to be frank.
Yeah. I was trying to be a little more tactful, but that works too.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that's why that's number two. So,
yeah. Well, I'm going to roll right into it because obviously my number one is the asteroid field chase in the greatest Star Wars film, The Empire Strikes Back.
There was no laser blast. Something hit us.
Han, get up here.
Come on, Chewie.
Asteroids.
Chewie, set yourself in one.
What are you doing? You're not actually going into an asteroid field.
It'd be crazy to follow us, wouldn't they?
And right away, you have really cool dialogue. You know, Han's down in the, you know, pit of the Falcon trying to fix it, as always, while they're being pursued by Star Destroyers and TIE Fighters.
Hand me the hydro spanner!
Don't know how we're going to get out of this one. But even the chase, I mean, again, the chase begins outside the asteroid field. And it's a great shot. Luke takes off. Everything's fine. He's plotting this new course to Dagobah, like, oh, don't worry, R2, we're fine. And it's just like, and it's a really cool transition shot. It like spirals, the screen spirals into the chase scene with, here comes the Falcon right into the center of the screen. Oh, crap. With four TIE fighters and a Star Destroyer right on its tail. I mean, again, Han does not have luck at this point, but he's down there in the pit of the Falcon trying to fix the hyperdrive. And then something hits it. The Hydra spanners fall, all the tools fall on Han. He yells at Chewie, you know, Han, get up here. The asteroids. Oh, Chewie, set course through 7-1. What? You're not actually going into an asteroid field. You know, I mean, it's just...
They're crazy to follow us, wouldn't they?
Exactly, which is the title of the show. Exactly. But yeah, and it's just, you know, I mean, a lot of things like you were saying. First off, it's just exciting. It's fun. You really see here the epitome of Han Solo's piloting skills. I mean, in A New Hope, he brags about what a great pilot he is, but he doesn't really do anything that's that impressive in A New Hope. But flying through this asteroid field, like you said, with a freighter, I mean, these, you know, these YT-1300 freighters weren't built to fly like fighter crafts, and Han's flying it like an X-Wing. You know, I mean, he's maneuvering it. You know, I love that one shot right before they actually go to the big, when he descends down to the big asteroid. He does that great shot where he's like kind of flying right at it, and then at the last minute just spirals into that spin down underneath it. Like, it just, his piloting is just so precise. It's so perfect. Yeah, you got that funny banter, you know, with him and Leia, you know, like, well, sweet, you said you wanted to be around when I made a mistake. Well, this could be it, sweetheart. I take it back. You know, like, we're going to get pulverized if we stay out here much longer. Pulverized.
Pulverized.
And Han goes, can't argue with that. like he realizes how risky this is, but he's confident enough to do it. And again, this is a scene where I just, again, as a Han Solo fan, like, I just love it because you see that confidence and that cockiness being backed up to a certain degree. And, you know, it's such a cool, like, such a fun shot. And one of my favorite behind the stories thing is, as well about this is they actually use potatoes as a lot of the asteroids in the background, which I think is so cool.
Yes.
You know, every Irishman was cheering.
or every Idaho farmer.
Or every Idaho farmer. They're like, reckon that might have been my little potato back there in that there Hoth asteroid field. I don't obviously know how people from Idaho talk. I'm sorry, everyone. I mean, it's just such a fun scene. And obviously, I think it's the first TIE fighter that gets taken out. As it gets blown up, you see the pilot goes flying out, which is so cool.
It's like, oh!
Yeah, like, oh, there's somebody actually in there. Like,
ow.
So, yeah. And obviously, the last element, like you said, is the music. I mean, such an iconic John Williams piece is the asteroid field chase. Just so much fun to listen to, you know, in that scene. And it's funny because some of these other chase scenes we've mentioned, like my number two there, the speeder bike chase, there is no music. And even the chase with Obi-Wan and Jango in the asteroid field, it doesn't come in until Jango shoots that missile.
Right.
A lot of these chase scenes are, you know, you kind of don't need the music because you've got plenty of cool sounds without it. But the asteroid field scene is just, that music is just perfect. It's exciting. It grabs your attention. And you really feel like the riskiness that they're taking by flying through this asteroid field. So, yeah, obviously it's got to be my number one is the asteroid field. But I am just biting at the bit here. Like, I need to know, what is your number one, Jason?
Oh, dear.
So here it is. Here is Jason back to being Jason.
Yes, this is Jason back to being Jason. My favorite Star Wars chase scene is from The Clone Wars. And Carl, should, you know, drops his head.
No, that's fine. That's cool.
But no.
I mean, it's better than the Planet Core.
The Planet Core. Now, go.
Thank you for your help. We'll leave in peace. Master, what's a bongo? Transport, I hope. Stopping there before I get to
the planet. I knew he was going to do the joke. Going into the Planet Core? Bad.
It's a setting yourself up. Going to the Planet Core? Bad bombing. Any help here would be hot.
Okay, stopping there. All right. And my favorite chase scene comes from the episode The Jedi Who Knew Too Much, Season 5, final arc of the season. This is Ahsoka's escape from the Republic prison, where she gets her lightsabers and has to escape not only, like, the entire 501st Legion, but Anakin Skywalker as well. She's running across the prison grounds through, the industrial area, finally going into the sewer system, and ends up with her, you know, taking the fugitive leap down into the bowels of Coruscant. It's just... And I guess I like it so much because, you know, it sets up the awesome storyline so well that we get for that arc, but it's such a long and in-depth and visually stunning chase scene. It takes up like at least half of the episode, which is fantastic. But you get, and I think my favorite images are she's running along these, you know, pipes and catwalks, and there's, you know, gunships flying overhead with their spotlights on her. She's got clone troopers in the gunship and clone troopers running up behind, blasting at her with the stun blast. So you've got stun blasts going everywhere, and her green lightsabers, you know, going, you know, deflecting, and her, you know, flipping and spinning and jumping and running to dodge and evade all of this stuff, and it starts to rain. You know, just all of that stuff. And it's just, it looks so fantastic. That is movie quality chase material in a TV show. I how I like my lightsabers and the Jedi and all that fun stuff. So getting, you know, lightsabers involved in the chase scene and just... the way that it was used and the way it was utilized and all of that amazing visuals culminating with the fugitive leap. It has to be my favorite chase scene in all of Star Wars at this point. So it just goes to show how much of an impact Ahsoka Tano has had on, you know, me and, you know, the Star Wars community in general. So if you don't like Ahsoka Tano, there's something wrong with you, and you really need to see Season 5 of the Clone Wars. So,
that should have been at least an honorable mention for me, too. I don't know how I forgot that. Because it's very, it's emotionally draining as well. And it is, like you said, it's like movie quality with the spotlights, and I mean... It's so gritty and so real. And the emotionality of Anakin having to chase after his Padawan, even though he knows she's innocent, but he still has to try and, you know, get her to figure out what's going on. And just the emotion that's involved in this chase is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's crazy because, you know, she gets out of her cell to find her lightsabers laying in the middle of a room with a bunch of unconscious clone troopers. So she gets her lightsabers, and then she continues to run through the prison to try and escape the prison to find a couple of dead clone troopers cut up by lightsabers. So she's being completely set up, and she knows she's being set up, and, you know, so she can't stay around and wait for Anakin. And at this point, Anakin can't do much because the clones have already, you know, ordered, you know, an APB, you know, on her. And basically, all he can do is tell them to shoot for stun instead of for kill.
Yeah.
So, But
and
I love the way
that
the stun blasts dissipate on the lightsaber. They don't deflect. They just dissipate.
Those are really cool. And also, isn't that the chase scene, too, where you have she's at the, you know, mouth of a storm drain, and Anakin's.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's straight out of The Fugitive with Harrison Ford.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
But it was really cool because you just, and again, this is a credit to these CGI animators. Just the emotion in their faces as they look at each other before she jumps is incredible. I mean, she feels so betrayed, and Anakin so wants to help, but he knows he can't. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's, yeah, what a, again, great chase scene. What a great pick. So,
yeah.
So there you have it.
Yeah. A little bit of a shorter episode, folks, but, you know.
Not too much you can say about chase scenes, which is true.
Right.
Can't really jump into them too much, but, yeah, I mean, obviously, there's lots of other great ones out there. Lots of a lot of them in the Clone Wars. Oddly enough, the trip through the planet Korra was not on Jason's list. that's actually when I was watching The Phantom Menace yesterday. I actually skipped that entire scene because it's the one scene I can't stand.
Why can't you stand it?
I don't know. I just find it so annoying. Jar Jar. That's the scene where Jar Jar's the most annoying. I noticed actually by skipping that scene, I didn't find myself annoyed at all by Jar Jar the entire time I watched the film. So,
interesting.
Just all his screaming and yelling is just, it's too cartoony for Star Wars to me. It's too silly. It's not funny. It's just, it's childhood silliness that it was an odd fit for Star Wars. So
I guess if they had cut down on some of the screaming a little bit, that would have been annoying. Better.
So,
you know,
the street creatures are cool looking.
Yes.
So, but anyway.
Always bigger fish.
Yeah.
Means that they're like going back now.
So anyway, yeah. So there you go. There's our top chase scenes from Star Wars.
So, yes.
But now I'm actually really excited because we get to introduce our next matchup. And it is a lightsaber matchup.
Yes.
And it's a very interesting one. So, you know, this is kind of an Infinities idea. And this came to me after listening to the last Sarlacc Pit episode where they introduced kind of an Infinity-style lightsaber matchup. I'm not going to tell you what it is. If you want to know, you should go listen to the latest Sarlacc Pit episode, which was fantastic. But I kind of ran with it, and I texted Chris Hothai's Planet just to let him know, like, hey, man, I'm kind of stealing one of your ideas. Here's what mine is. And he's like, oh, it's cool. Go with it. So,
But, that's what I love about us podcasters. We're just like, okay, yes, we'll steal each other's ideas. Yeah. Everybody's okay with it. So.
Yeah. Quick little side note before I introduce it, though. And that is something just the other night I was again thinking about how I really do want to try and get a Han Solo Empire Strikes Back costume and do some trooping if possible. I love that costume. But again, like, I don't really have a good sense of where to go. So I just sent a couple text messages a couple quick messages to Lord Bruticus, Joe Mignano over on Facebook. And within like 20 minutes, he wrote back with like some great sites to check out. I mean, it's such an awesome part being part of the Star Wars fan community. If I have a question about, you know, almost anything, I have somebody I can go to. I mean, if it's costuming and fan stuff, I can go to, you know, Lord Bruticus. I can go to Jazz because I asked Jazz a couple questions. I got JC Cox, who's another great resource for that. If I have questions about, I've started to peek. My interest has been piqued lately with the Legos, the Star Wars Legos. I still haven't gotten any, but I kind of want to. So Chris Smith has been texting me up the wazoo with where to get things and how to get them cheaper and what he's building together. And yeah.
In case you don't know, Chris has started a Star Wars Lego style Facebook page.
That's right.
Which is actually pretty cool. So
yeah,
because he's, you know, recently been getting into the Legos like hardcore,
yes,
getting indeed. Into Legos. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. So if you like Star Wars Legos, check out Star Wars Lego Style on Facebook.
Yeah.
So
there you go. A little plug there. But yeah, anywho. So yeah, that was my little side note. It's so fun being part of this wider Star Wars community because we all just want to help each other. And of course, if it's Star Wars related, even the better.
Yeah.
But indeed. Anyway, our matchup. Who's introducing this? Me or you?
You. Go ahead and you do it.
Thank you.
thank you.
But okay, so our Infinities idea, and this is something that has always irked me since 2005 when Revenge of the Sith first premiered. And it's this decision Yoda makes of splitting up. Yoda's going to go after Darth Sidious. Obi-Wan's going to go after Anakin. So here's the matchup. What if, instead of splitting up, they went together, Obi-Wan and Yoda versus Darth Sidious in Revenge of the Sith? who would prevail? Obviously, we know Darth Sidious does a number on Yoda, but what if he had the advantage of also having Obi-Wan Kenobi with him? So that is our next matchup. Obi-Wan Kenobi and Yoda versus Darth Sidious in Revenge of the Sith. Who would win?
Yes, and this is in Revenge of the Sith. We're not including anything else out there. This is specifically from, if the movie somehow morphed and Obi-Wan went with Yoda and they confronted him in the Senate chambers there, what would happen?
Exactly. So let us know what you think.
Dun, dun,
dun. And Jason,
yes?
How can they do that?
Oh, you're going to do that to me again, aren't you?
Kermit.
This is Kermit the Frog. And, one of the best ways that you can get in touch with...
Okay, I'm going to stop that. One of the best ways that you can get in touch with us is over at our Echo Base on Facebook, which is facebook.com/Wampa's Lair Podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Wampa's Lair. And then, of course, we have our email, which is wampaslairpodcast@gmail.com. And the Wampa's Lair, as well as the Star Wars Report, Star Wars Beyond the Films, and Star Wars Bookworms, can be found at starwarsreport.com.
That's a mouthful.
Yes.
So before we close out, I'm just going to ask one more time, because I'm very needy. I'm going to be that one in this relationship with Jason and I. So Jason's the one who can do the voices and make you laugh, and I'm the one who always begs for stuff. I would really appreciate it if you guys could, if you have a moment to just write a quick review for us in the iTunes store, give us a rating. And like Jason has said before, the reason we asked for that, one, we'd love some feedback, positive, negative, whatever. But also, too, like Jason has said before, when you search for Star Wars podcasts, there's still a lot of podcasts that are going to be listed above us because they have more episodes, but they're no longer recording. So we just really want to get bumped up in the queue a bit because, again, we're an active podcast. We're new. We're still trying. We want to interact with listeners. Those reviews really help us out. That's the reason we'd like them. But, of course, too, a review is beneficial for us. We want to know that people listening to us enjoy us, or if there's something they want to see different, let us know.
We do welcome constructive criticism, as long as it's constructive.
Yes.
The
Wampa's Lair is kind of like the second Death Star, not the first. We're always under construction. That's enough from me.
Huh. Oh, dear, you crack me up, Carl. This is why I podcast with him, because he cracks me up. Well, I guess that about wraps up this episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast, unless you have anything else you want to say, Carl? Anything?
I do not. I am as set as the Millennium Falcon on the back of the Star Destroyer of Adventure, you know what I'm saying?
Very nice. Okay. Very nice. This has been episode number 52 of the Wampa's Lair podcast. They'd be crazy to follow us. I am Jason Hunt, and for Carl LeClaire, we will see you next time in the Wampa's Lair.